Hurkun oku trap sonsun. Trap sonsun. Trap sonsun trap dondusun. Түүний сонсдог хөгжим дур булаа. Дадаж дуудан дур булаа мууруулаа.
Hey everybody, welcome to a brand new MMA Roasted podcast. It's me, Adam Hunter. I am in Calgary by myself right now, but we have a great show. We have Jessica I, as well as Phil Baroni, two great people in mixed martial arts sport, two characters as well. It's going to be a great show. I want to thank our sponsor, Speedweed. Listen, people, a lot of times, if you live in California and you like to smoke marijuana or do CBD oil or vape or edibles or flower, there's no reason to get out and go to the dispensary. You may not have a car. Gas is expensive. Driving's a pain in the ass. Who knows? I mean, who knows what could happen when you get no car? A lot of car accidents out there. You got drunk drivers. Listen, don't worry about it. Call Speedweed. They will deliver it to you. They will come to you. It's so much easier. Trust me on this one, and it's better. And who knows? A lot of times, bad things can happen when you leave the place. When you leave your house or apartment, things can go wrong. Trust me on this one. Everything that has went wrong in my life is pretty much for me leaving my apartment or house. Not everything, but a lot of things. So, Speedweed. That's the way to go. Speedweed. Just go to speedweed.com. Use code ROASTED for $10 off orders $100 or more, or 10% off. 10% off orders $100 or more. Speedweed, roasted. Yes, they're really good people. The guy Gino, he's from Long Island. He's the guy that, one of the guys in charge of it. He's a great dude. And thank you for sponsoring us, Gino. You're a good guy. So, what's going on with me? I am in Calgary. I'm doing stand up comedy. I'm at the Comedy Condo right now, which is like downstairs from a house. It's basically like an Airbnb. Normally, I like hotels. Sometimes condos are good too. It's just weird being in a condo knowing that like every comic's probably masturbated on your bed and you know, other things. But you know, look, I'm not complaining. I get to do what I love for a living. Most people don't. It was a lot of sacrifice. This is 20 years into it. I had to work my ass off and still working my ass off, but I can't complain. I got a great wife. I have a great job. I love making people laugh, and I get to coach wrestling, so I'm not complaining. However, there are times where I'm just like, how many wrong moves did I make to get here? But then there's times where I'm on stage, and comedy is the great equalizer. It's kind of like fighting. It's just you versus one other person, which basically turned me on to fighting so much. Wrestling, it's not like, you know, you play soccer or football or basketball or baseball. There's the coach's son plays, or this one plays, or it's politics, or, you know, wrestling is just you versus the other person. Fighting you versus the other person. Doesn't matter if that person's father is a casting director, or uncle, or you know, nephew. It's you versus the other person. Same with comedy. In comedy, it's you against the audience, or you with the audience. You obviously want to win over the audience. You don't want to piss off the crowd, but it's you versus them, and that's the most beautiful thing about it. No matter what, I think it's the most pure form of entertainment. You know, acting, you could take 25 takes, make an actor look good. You could have the right angle, whatever. Singing, you could do 55 different takes. You could auto-tune it. You could, you know, fix it in post. Comedy, it's you up there. That's it. And that's what turns me on so much about comedy. That's what I love about it. It's also what I hate about it sometimes, because there are times that I wish I had I could auto-tune my joke or have a replay or whatever. But it's pure. It's pure. I mean, the business of comedy, why people get certain festivals and late night shows and, you know, TV shows, I can go on all day for that. That's a whole different thing. But the actual art of it, the act of it, it's just you on stage, and that's what I love about it. That's what I love about it. That's what I love about comedy. That's what I love about fighting. But the sucks about it sometimes is the travel, especially for a guy who just got married in June. I don't get to see the wife right now. She's not happy about that sometimes. And although sometimes I'm home a lot, and she's like, when's your next trip? But right now I do miss her, and I feel bad because I would like to be with her, and instead I'm in Calgary. So that's the shitty part about it, is the traveling so much. You get to a certain level, when you make a certain amount of money, you could take your girl with you and take your family with you. unfortunately, I'm not at that level yet. There are comics, Russell Peters, Chris Rock, Chappelle, and even, you know, guys who are doing, or women who are doing less than that are actually doing really well. They could take their thing. So I missed two wrestling matches, three actually, of the team that I coach. Luckily, I have this guy, Ryan, who actually I coached him in middle school. He's my assistant coach now. He's great, Ryan Bland, and he brought in this guy, Tyler Smith, who's also a great coach. They tell me how the team's doing, but it sucks. We were winning by 50 points every match. Now we won by 24, 25, next week is the big tournament, and I'm calling. We only have practice usually twice a week. Next week, 4 days a week, we're going over everything, going over basics, because from what I heard, the team's looking sloppy. They're not sprawling. They're getting confident. But also, there's only three teams in our league, and as most people who do combat sports know, when you beat a kid and you blow him out the first time, the advantage is pretty much always with the kid who lost the second or third time, because he knows, because it just seems like that's the way it goes. I remember when I was a freshman, I wrestled some kid who beat me, who pinned me the first time. Second time, he beat me by 12 points. Third time, by 1 point. A lot of it is just getting up for the match. A lot of it is, the loser figuring out what the winner's doing right. You know, the winner doesn't really have to figure out what the loser's doing wrong because he's winning. So a lot of times, when you blow out a team, it's really only downhill from there. Not always, but a lot of times. It was funny. Like, the kid from Chechnya, he showed up to the last match I was at, and he hurt his hamstring doing kickboxing. He's ranked second in the state of California in kickboxing and does jiu-jitsu and as well as boxing. And he's like, "Coach, I can't wrestle, but if you need me, I will fight. I will fight." I'm like, "All right, it's not a fight, but..." I do love the spirit. Another kid that I had heard showed up to the match, never actually showed up to the match. This is the first match he showed up to, never goes to practice, gets into the wrestling mat. I guess somehow the other coaches didn't know that he hadn't shown up to practice, and he squares up and puts his dukes up like he's ready to start fighting. Of course, the referee and the coaches look at the other coaches like, "What are you teaching these kids? It's not a boxing match." But yeah, that wasn't good either. But it was a pretty exciting week for me, actually. Last Wednesday, I flew to Seattle. I was at the Underground. I love that club. But I get there. I leave at 7:30. I get there around, the flight was delayed. That's the worst, when you get on a flight and you fall asleep, and you're like, "Oh, okay, cool." And then when you wake up and you're still on the runway, oh, that's what happened. That's the worst. Because you think you wake up and you're there, but then you realize, no, the flight hasn't left yet. So I get in around 12:30 to Seattle. Of course, it's raining, shitty weather, which it's not as bad as New York City because that's freezing and rain, but the weather does suck. It does make for good comedy because I feel like comics are angrier in bad weather, and when you're angrier, sometimes comedy is it comes to you more because comedy equals, anything that moves you, and a lot of times things that move you are things that piss you off. So I got to Seattle, I get there, I get to the club, there's no one there, it's 12:30, I call up the manager, he's sleeping, he's like, "Oh, I'm a sleeper." So he gets up, and I'm like, "Hey, thanks for letting me in." He goes, "Don't thank me yet, we still have 2 blocks to walk." So now I'm walking with my luggage in the rain. So we get there to this apartment condo thing where there's a bunk bed and a bed on the floor, and like chains on the ceiling. I guess there was a hooker at the time that was used to live there that was into some kind of bondage gear, and the chains were still on top. And the guy says to me, "There's no TV, but there's crack whores outside. They'll keep you entertained." I'm like, "Thanks, man. Appreciate it." He goes, "Hope you're not hungry. There ain't shit to eat." And then that was that. The guy happened to be a real nice guy. Big Trump supporter. He wore a Make America Great Again hat all through the week, but I happened to like the guy a lot. He was pretty funny. So then next morning, I got to do TV. That's why I came in early. Morning television. The crowd is like literally 9 80-year-old women who go to this show. 80-year-old women, I guess, love morning talk shows. And I'm there, and it's sort of one of those shows where they give you like the 5 interesting things of the day. So there's some guy wrote a blog about, or woman wrote a blog, 19 things you should know about your spouse. And the lady was asking me about it, and she's like, "So, what do you consider cheating?" And I'm like, "I don't know, anything your wife finds out about," which was a joke. But the crowd's like, the ladies are all getting mad. The lady, "Ooh, now I'm getting heckled by old women," and I'm like, "I'm kidding. I would never cheat on my wife. It would break her heart to see me that happy." Now they're like, boo. The host had to like calm these old women down. Like, it's okay, it's okay. But luckily, I like won them over. They were nice. I don't even know if they even knew they were there or what they were there for. But that was that. And then I got a email from ESPN saying they wanted to have me on Sports Nation the next day. So I had to fly back to, I did another show. This guy, Bob Stelton, had me on his ESPN radio show. That was pretty awesome. Then I flew back to Seattle the next morning at 5:45. I stayed up all night, you know, working on my jokes for, I don't even know what they're going to ask me, but I figured it'll be probably about Bellator or UFC 220. And then I get there, 9 o'clock in the morning from Seattle to LA, 2 hours early. I'm walking around where like the ESPN thing is. I get there, and those people are so nice, the staff from Sports Nation. I mean, just, I've never felt between Wiley and Merriman and Michelle Beadle. I loved it. I loved it. I thought it went killer. I was really happy with the way it went. If you want to check out the clip, it's on my Instagram or my Twitter page. Then I had to fly back at 3 o'clock back to Seattle because I was recording two CDs. I was recording my CD that night. It's my third CD. If you want to get my first two, they're on iTunes or Spotify. You can listen to it. This is my third CD. I'm super proud of it, but I was fucking exhausted. So I did two shows that night. Of course, I got heckled by some older lady, but the Seattle crowds were actually really cool. The first show, the Thursday show, the night before, there was some drunk couple that was, this woman kept yelling, "Show your dick," to the comedian, and the comic was like this nice guy, and they had to kick her out. So that was that. And then yeah, it was fun. It was a lot of fun. I was really, really happy. They didn't let me tell one joke. I did want to do a joke about Ngannou saying that he has a worse ground game than Aziz Aznari, but that joke was a little bit too controversial, so I didn't get to do that joke. It's okay. I understand. You know, even though the punchline is on Aziz Aznari, his ground game, he didn't rape anyone. I don't think it was considered sexual assault. It wasn't. But still, I understand if you do that joke, somebody somewhere is going to get offended and then fucking post a blog or Twitter or Reddit. That's just the culture we live in, but I'm not adhering to it. Fuck it. You know, for now on, I'm not going to do stuff on Twitter, but my shows, I'm not holding anything back on my shows. That's all I'm saying. You go see my live show, I'm not holding shit back. I understand that Twitter and Facebook, they used to be great platforms to try out new jokes, but people have ruined that because they want to get you fired when they don't agree with a joke that you wrote. Unfortunately, as a comic, like I try telling everyone, you know, for every 10 jokes you write, 3 will work, which means 7 won't, which means you're going to bomb 70% of the time. And it used to be people could go, oh, he's trying. Now it's like, fuck him, get him fired, tag his employer, and it sucks. Anyway, so when I get back to Seattle, I have to go right to the comedy club because I got to do a show, and the Uber driver picks me up. And now listen, you know, I have family members that were Uber drivers, and I have a lot of friends that do it. So many comics I know. It's a cool job. It's a great way to make some money. It's a hard job. I respect it. I'm into it. Sure. You know, who knows? Maybe I'll be an Uber driver, you know, at one point in my career if I need to be, and there's nothing wrong with it. Honestly, nothing wrong with it. However, you know, for some reason, it does seem like a lot of these Uber drivers are people that are in need of friends, or they just want to talk to you, or they think it's some kind of a job interview, or you're being interviewed. And it's, you know, I get it. Like, hey, how's it going? You know, what's your name? Okay, that's cool, you know? But when you start getting too specific, it just gets to be annoying, especially when I'm on my phone, I'm running back, I'm trying to figure out what the fuck I got to do. I got the kids have a wrestling match on Friday. I just did ESPN. I'm trying to post about it. So I get into this car, and this guy's like, I'm like, hey, take me to the underground, comedy underground. The guy goes, oh, are you a comedian? Yeah. Oh, cool. How long you been doing it for? I don't know, 20 years. That's a long time. Yeah, cool. If you don't mind me asking, what have you been in? I've been on a couple TV shows, you know. Which ones? I was on Last Comic Standing and The Tonight Show and, I don't know, a couple other shows. I just did ESPN Sports Station today. Oh, well, what's your last name? Hunter. I never heard of you. You know, fucking, so I go, I never heard of you. I go, I never heard of you either. He goes, fair enough. So now it's an awkward fucking conversation. First of all, I didn't want to have to answer 17 questions. Second of all, he asked me the information and then says, I never heard of you. I never asked, have you heard of me? He asked me. So now it's a fucking awkward 30 minutes. And then I feel bad because I'm like, ugh, that was kind of rude that I said never heard of you either. Even though he did say I never heard of you. So I'm like, well, what do you do? And he told me he was in the military. Now I feel even worse. I'm a fucking asshole. So I gave the guy, you know, I don't know, 30% tip and gave him 5 stars and a great write-up. But anyway, all right. So then, you know, unfortunately, where I was staying at in this comedy condo, there was no Wi-Fi, no TV, and the fights are on. And I got to make flyers for the dime bar because I'm running the dime bar Monday and Tuesday. So I go to dime bar and I have to go to Starbucks. Now, where I was staying at in Seattle, in the underground area, Pullman Square, I believe it's called, I saw more homeless people and more drug addicts and more. It was just not, it was not a pleasant place to be. Nothing against homeless people and drug addicts, but it was just, so I go to Starbucks to use the internet and I'm sitting next to like 3 people that are nodding off. I can't even go to the bathroom because I have to bring all my stuff with me if I go. I can't even order a coffee. I got to carry stuff with me. I'm afraid I'm going to lose my seat. It really was like a homeless shelter with coffee. It wasn't really a Starbucks, which, I mean, look, obviously it's not. I mean, maybe these people just, I'm not judging them. People have gotten themselves into bad situations and yada, yada. But they were coughing and sneezing. And I'm like, great, now I'm going to get fucking sick. Ugh. So then I go do 2 shows the next night. The shows went well that night, Saturday night. I watched the UFC, watched Bellator, and I enjoyed it. Let's talk about some of the fights that happened. I'll tell you, Rob Font, Thomas Almeida has fallen far, but Rob Font looked really good. That's a guy, and I know that Aljamain's calling him out. People are making fun of Aljamain, but Aljamain got caught. He got caught in his last fight against Marlon Moraes. You know, that would be a good fight. I want to see Aljamain versus Rob Font. Also, the Cormier-John Jones. Man, Daniel Cormier is a guy who is so good. And you talk about a guy who is blessed and, you know, passionate and hardworking and a role model. But a guy who just has some strange luck. You know, he would have been the NCAA champion if not for being in the same weight class as Kale Sanderson, who arguably is the best college wrestler of all time. Him and Dan Gable, you could argue back and forth. Now, he would have been he's the undisputed champion, but there's still that asterisk because he didn't beat John Jones. And John Jones is the greatest fighter of all time. Yes, people will say Demetrius Johnson. Okay, you can make that argument, and people will say Fedor or Anderson Silva. But I believe that John Jones, the way he's dominated everybody except for Gustafson, is the greatest fighter of all time. And Cormier just is stuck in that fucking weight class, which sucks. You look the way that Cormier ran through Volkan, ran through Anthony Johnson the second time. Ah, man. But, you know, it just shows you that it's not all physical, because physically, John Jones has it. Mentally, he doesn't have it. Same with Tyson. Tyson physically, beyond. Mentally, didn't have it. You got to have both. You got to have both. Ngannou, you know, a lot of people now are jumping off the Ngannou train as fast as they were jumping on it. My feeling is Stipe did great. Stipe, you got to, you know, hats off to him. Fought a great fight, almost a perfect fight. Ngannou needs better people to wrestle with. I know he's training over at Syndicate, and I think he's training over at somewhere else at the UFC Performance Institute. He's got to, you know, if he goes to a place like AKA and gets wrestlers like Cormier and that Olympian Russian who everyone, you know, I'm talking about, he gets Cain Velasquez, which they might not let him there because, you know, he's right there. But if he does, he's right back in there, because wrestling and cardio is what I believe his only problem. And then maybe, of course, some of his strikes were a little wide, but like they say, cardio makes it kills us all. So, but hats off to Stipe, because that was awesome. Now, as far as the Bellator, Rampage, you know, if you're not going to show up in your best or even at like 80% of your best, what's the point? I mean, do you need the money? You made a ton of money. A ton of money. You made movies. You have sponsorships. You have Monster. You have this. You have that. You know, it just doesn't make any sense to you know, Chael Sonnen's great. I love Chael, but he's hopping up 2 weight classes to beat a guy that knocked out Vanderlei Silva, that knocked out Chuck Liddell twice, or at least stopped him twice. I mean, Rampage is such a monster. And this version of Rampage is just, what are we doing here? What are we doing? At the same time, I'm excited about the Bellator tournament. I think it's awesome. I don't care that these guys, you know, the first time they cut weight was when they missed the Last Supper. I don't care that these guys are, you know, should have been on the undercard of David versus Goliath. It doesn't matter to me. I am entertained by it. I like it. I'm going to watch Roy Nelson versus Mitrione. And like I said on ESPN, I am calling it. I believe that King Mo is going to beat Ryan Bader and is going to win this tournament. Mark my words. And come to me. And by the way, when I make these predictions, people don't come back at me and say, a couple people do, but I picked that Misha Tate was banging that dude. I just saw it in their eyes. I picked that Darian Caldwell was going to be the champion. I picked Chris Weidman was going to be the champion. I picked Cormier was going to be the champion. You watched the interview with Dana White. I said if Cormier beats blah, 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 and then Jones beats whoever, will they fight? People were like, what the fuck? That was way before. So I'm not an idiot. And I picked Nunez is going to be champion too. And yeah, sometimes I do idiotic things, but I can make good calls once in a while. So Rory McDonald, toughest guy ever. It looked like John Dodson was popping out of the guy's leg. By the way, the tweet that I made, that John Dodson is the official heavyweight champion, it blew up on Twitter. It's gotten over 600 retweets, 2,000 things. And if you don't know about it, John Dodson, okay, beat TJ Dillashaw, who beat Cody Garbrandt, who beat Dominic Cruz, who beat Uriah Faber, who beat Jens Pulver, who beat BJ Penn, who beat Matt Hughes, who beat, who am I missing here? Matt Hughes beat, what's the tweet? Matt Hughes beat, I don't even know my own tweet, but I spent a good 10 minutes thinking of this. Matt Hughes beat GSP, right, who beat Bisping, who beat Rockhold, who beat Overeem, who beat Hunt, who beat Struve, who beat Stipe, making Dodson the real champion. Of course, I could have put TJ Dillashaw beat Dom. Demetrius Johnson beat Dodson, which is true, making him the champion of all the belts. I thought about doing that, but for comedy purposes, I thought Dodson was funnier. I don't know why. Dodson, to me, is just doesn't take himself as seriously as Demetrius Johnson, and I knew that he would like that joke better. And he did. He actually commented saying, I can't wait to show the world that I'm the real champion. So Rory McDonald, by the way, is the toughest guy in the world. That fucking thing on his leg was nasty, and he just powered through it and won the fight. Won the fight. Really, he won the fight with that fucking hematoma on his leg. Super impressed. And also, Cyborg and Nunez. I guess that's going to happen now, which is a good fight. I think Cyborg's going to win. She's just a little better because she's a lot better. But she's bigger. Bigger woman. They're both really good. But in a fight, a good big person beats a good small person. Yeah, I mean, not always, but in this situation, I think that will happen. I do. But then, you know, Megan Anderson writes, well, what I want the winner or something. And Megan Anderson, by the way, has not fought in a very long time. And at this point, it's like you have to get into the cage to keep talking. Otherwise, it's just getting silly. Megan Anderson is a very good fighter, very tough fighter, knocked out a lot of people and has really good power. But if she's not fighting, she's going to be, you know, the haters are going to come out. But then Cyborg tweets back like, yeah, or Ray Elby, which is Cyborg's man slash manager, I believe, tweets back. Yeah, you know, you're the kind of person that you got married but to get into the country and then tagged immigration, which is like, what are you doing? That's next level fucked up. What are we doing here? Come on, Ray. That, you know, people are really starting to get behind Cyborg. They're really starting to kind of forget about the whole steroid thing, forget about whatever, and they're getting behind her. She did really well in her pay-per-views. This is not helping. There's no need to try to get Megan Anderson deported or kicked out of the country because of this. That's not cool. That was totally uncalled for. Just my two cents. Okay, so we're going to call a guy who Phil Baroni, who Phil is a UFC legend. His knockout of Dave Monet was, I mean, it was unbelievable, actually. All right, so we're calling Phil Baroni right now. Phil. For some reason, the Skype isn't working, so it's going to have to be through the phone, which sucks. Yo, what's up, Phil?
What's up, man?
How are you doing? Yeah, the fucking, I don't understand. I called you like 18 times via Skype, and it just didn't work.
It didn't even ring.
That's so weird, man. So how are you doing? So why are you in Lodi right now?
Building a training camp.
Nice. Are you training with the Diaz brothers?
No, I'm doing my own thing.
In Lodi.
I took my Bitcoin and I got a little farm going now. Fuck Vegas, bro.
Really?
Yeah.
So how much money did you make in Bitcoin? Phil. Hello?
Yeah, you hear me?
Yeah. How much money did you make in Bitcoin?
I was getting paid in Bitcoin when I was fucking it up. When I fought in Dream on New Year's Eve, so I have to pay taxes. And I forgot about it. And it went up a lot, bro.
That's awesome.
A lot. So just imagine how much I probably got paid to fight on New Year's Eve in Japan. And look at the inflation of Bitcoin from that fight. And you can how much money I made.
That's amazing. Now, why did you pick Lodi to open a gym?
Because I have a grape, so I'm making winery.
You're making winery, too?
Yeah, I got a farm over here. There's a picture on my Instagram. I'll take some pictures and type them in.
That's amazing.
Come out of here, bro. It's sick. Come out of here. It's sick. I got super hot maids. God.
But
hi.
Super hot. I got super hot. There's super hot chicks hanging out here. It's awesome, bro. Drink the wine.
But what do you know about farming?
Nothing. I just hire people.
It's
already set up. I just live in the house.
I just can't see you as a farmer. It's just crazy.
I do shit. I ain't farming nothing. I just ride the fucking horse and that's it. I ain't farming nothing. I just pay them on the farm.
You have a horse?
Yeah, I got everything.
That is the funniest thing I've ever heard in my entire life. Now where did you? Because
I come out here, really, bro. I'll pay to do comedy here or one of these shows here in Stockton or Lodi. I'll figure it out and then it'll be funny, bro.
I just can't.
But these fucking horses, I fucking fell off this motherfucker. I broke my ass yesterday, bro. It's crazy.
Have you ever learned how to ride a horse? How do you know how to ride a horse?
I don't know how to ride a horse.
And you bought a horse. How much was the horse?
I'm with the farm, bro. I just bought this fucking. I bought the whole joint.
Okay.
Motherfucker.
So, Phil Baroni, yeah. So you sell your place in Vegas. You sell your house. You move to.
Got divorced. I'm the smartest motherfucker ever. Got divorced. Now I have five fucking hot chicks here. And I don't fucking do nothing.
You just hang out with the five chicks, and then who makes the wine?
The Mexican guys.
So how do you know when the wine's ready, or like?
I don't fucking know. It's dead right now. There's nothing going on now. There's nothing going on.
Now, are you gonna call this like the best wine ever? Is that what you're gonna call it, or what?
Yes. Incredible. I got the best grapes out of it.
That's hysterical. All right.
I was going to do a Napa. I was going to go to Napa. It's way more money, but it's prettier, but it's better here, man. The wine's better here.
All right.
The wine's better here. I just go to Napa on vacation.
All right. Okay. So you pick Lodi. Did anyone, like, turn you on to this or tell you to do this? Or like, how did this happen?
I got Bitcoin.
I know you got Bitcoin, but like, I know you got Bitcoin, but who said to you, hey, go to Napa, open up a farm?
This is what rich people do. This is what rich people do.
I know a lot of rich people that don't just go to Lodi to open farms. I just not really, not necessarily all rich people are in Lodi.
I mean, they ain't that rich.
All right, so
Lodi is the shit, bro. This is the best place ever. This is awesome.
Are you making any money? Any return on the farm so far?
I'm just fucking watching the Bitcoin keep going up.
Right, right, right. Now, are you banging the maids?
All of them. Come here, baby. Come here.
Wait, you're banging all the maids?
All the maids.
Now, are these white girls, Mexican girls, or?
See?
Now, what are these maids? What are these maids look?
Ask her. She's right here. Ask her a question.
Hey, excuse me. What's your name? Maria. Okay, and you're.
What do I tell you? I call you. See? What do I call you? That was my ex-wife's name.
You call her Angela. Okay, Maria, and are you Mexican? Now, Maria, you're Mexican, Italian? What nationality are you? Mexican. Okay. So you and four girls, you live at Phil's house and you sleep with him?
Of course.
Of course. Of course. Of course. Why wouldn't you? Now, does he pay you or you just do it on like your own free will? Both. Okay, that's good. All right, that's good. That's good. All right, well, and where did Phil find you? Like, you just were walking around Lodi, and like, how did you end up at Phil's farm?
I was in Vegas one night.
Oh, you met him in Vegas. Okay, now, are these the girls, Phil, that are in your pictures? Because I see you with all these strippers and, like, porn stars.
Yeah.
Okay, so these, yes, okay. So you've moved.
Of course.
All right. So,
they're not farmers, bro.
All right, so
we will be farming this summer.
All right, so you've moved the porn stars and the strippers to Lodi.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Okay, that's good. All right, well, Phil, it sounds like things are going really well for you. Are you doing submission grappling again or no?
I've been doing it every night, babes. Right, baby? Huh? How was last night?
Really good.
How many times did I tap you?
Now, Phil, how's your body? Are you off all the juice? Because you keep telling me to take steroids. Are you off the juice?
I believe in better living through chemistry.
But aren't you worried about your body, man, and like taking too much stuff?
I got all my hair. I got all my muscles, and I got my schlong too covered.
You got your schlong. That's good. That's good. That's good. Now,
I'm
Phil.
On EPO. I'm on EPO. You should see how long I can bang your shits.
What's EPO?
I don't know.
You don't know what it is, but you're taking it?
Yeah. All night long. I think I make a comeback. My endurance is all night long now.
Now, I had Jay Haran on the podcast. Jay credits you with, he was looking at jail time, and he needed to learn how to fight. So he said that you trained him how to fight, and four fights later, he's fighting GSP.
Yeah. What did he tell you exactly?
He said that you hired him to train him for one of your fights, and that he was going to look...
Oh, yeah, yeah. He was a wrestler partner.
Yeah, so
he was a good wrestler. We wrestled all through high school and college. You know what I mean? I've been beating him up all through high school and college. So I just need someone that could push me.
Then he was saying one time you guys got into a fight up in Albany and you were beating the shit out of each other during the weigh-ins, and then the coach was going to leave you there, both of you, if you guys didn't stop fighting.
No, the coach said, if you guys don't make up, we're going to leave you both here. And I said, fuck that, I ain't make it up. And then the coach said, Brony, you're going home. So then I said, okay, sorry, coach. I'll make up with him. Coach obviously liked Jay Haran better than me. I tried to pull the trump card on him, but Jay Haran was a good wrestler. As good as I was, Jay Haran was a great wrestler.
Well, you guys are both really good. You guys are both really good.
He's still a great wrestler. He's still a great wrestler.
Now, Phil, do you think the highlight of your career was beating the shit out of Dave Manet in 18 seconds?
No, I think the highlight of my career was last night. These four chicks. what do you think? Was last night the high of my career, baby?
I think so.
So you fucked all four girls last night?
Yes.
Wow. And like, you didn't even get tired, nothing?
No, the EPO shit. I go all night long, bro. I'm making a comeback to this shit.
Are you using protection? Yeah. Are you using protection or no?
Never.
Never use condoms. And you never had any kind of STD, no herpes, no HPV, nothing?
What's a condom?
What's a condom? Right. Well, it's, of course. Why would you use a condom? Yeah, of course. So I still I can't believe you're a farmer now. I never thought of thought that you'd be a farmer. Now, the Bellator heavyweight tournament. Did you watch it at all? Did you watch Chael beat Rampage?
Yeah.
Did you think that was going to happen?
Well, it was obvious that Chael Sonnen is using whatever boxing coach they have over there in
Oregon.
In Oregon, definitely the guy that Evan Tanner used. I mean, for me, because I recognize the style, the lead right hand. Stepping off the right hand, the Saints. It's definitely what and the way he set up the takedowns is definitely in the definitely big changes were made in his Chael's game, and I recognize him from fighting Evan Tanner. Whatever it is, Chael should put that coach over.
Yeah. Who do you think's gonna win the tournament?
Who's left?
Ryan Bader versus King Mo. It's
Bader.
Really? You think he beats King Mo?
Yeah.
Huh. I'm picking Mo. And then it's also Roy Nelson versus Mitrione and Fedor versus Frank Mir.
Roy Mir.
Yeah, Roy Mir. Now, there's a word on the street that you fuck Stefan Bonner's wife. Is there any truth to that?
I gotta plead the fifth on that.
Bonner says he walked in on you banging his wife.
Gotta plead the fifth on that.
Wow. So are you guys back? Are you guys cool again? Or are you guys still fighting? Or what's going on?
It's not, you know what I mean? If you like watching and then you forget or something, it's not really walking in. You know what I mean? Or like, if you just stayed there the next day. You know what I mean? If at night everything was cool and then you were so hammered and you forget and then you come upstairs the next day, it's not walking in, is it?
No. So you're saying Bonner asked you to fuck his wife?
I don't know if he asked, but he likes to watch.
Ah, all right. Okay, cool. All right, that makes sense. It makes total sense.
Yeah.
Well, so Phil, what's the future? Yeah. So are you going to get back into fighting? Are you going to do submission wrestling? Are you just going to make wine? What's the future for Phil Baroni?
I'm just getting drunk today. I don't know yet. I don't want to think about that kind of shit.
How many students do you have in your gym?
I got the beekeeper.
You got the one guy, the beekeeper?
Did you see the size of him?
Yeah, he's huge. I like the beekeeper.
It's the biggest Mexican ever. We're taking out. He's from Mexico City. We're taking out. We're home for the. UFC strap.
Right. Okay. So that's the only guy you have.
Once USADA gets fly, we take him home for the gold. We might go to Japan first.
All right. Okay. But you yourself, are you still doing pro wrestling? What are you doing? Comedy, right?
I don't know what I'm doing. You're getting drunk right now.
You're getting drunk. All right. Good.
Somebody on the phone.
Good. Good. Listen, Phil. We're going to have you back on next week. I got to get an update on this farm. I think this is a reality show right here. If I had money, I would bring a camera crew and follow you around on this farm with these porn stars. I think whoever, people are sleeping on this. This could be the biggest show in the world right here. Baroni's Farm.
Trying to grow shit, right? I'd have all these girls naked in the back trying to grow shit.
Yeah. But
that's
this is crazy. You're like, this is insane. But I love it. Well, have a good rest of the day, and I'll talk to you soon, Phil.
Thanks.
Take care, brother.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, that was Phil Baroni. Never a dull moment in that guy's life. Wow. That's I did not see that happening. But I'm happy for him. You know, I think it's a good place for him, is the farm with porn stars. I mean, why not, right? I mean, what else is he going to be doing? So that was Phil. If anybody has any farming tips for Phil, I would... I want to see him keep his money, but if he's making wine and Got naked girls. It seems like he's living the life. Steroids, wine, chicks, and farming. So anyway, we're calling Jessica I right now. So here we go. I don't think she's going to be on Phil's farm, but you never know. Maybe she's there too. And you know, the plot twist. But so here we are. We're calling Jessica I. I like Jessica I. She's a good.
Oh, hey, what's going on? Again?
Fucking A. This fucking. So I'm now talking with the beautiful, talented, badass Jessica I. How are you?
I'm good. How are you today?
Good. I love that voice. It's a very raspy voice, but I like it. It doesn't work for everybody. It totally works for you. People like your voice, not like your voice?
I like my voice.
Good. That's good. It's a hot voice. So meanwhile, you didn't like, I was kind of upset. I got to be honest, because a couple years ago you lost a fight or something and I called you and I texted you and then I was like, hey, how's it going? I got no callbacks, nothing back. I thought we were friends. What happened? What's going on?
What are you talking about? I answered your message right away with this. Like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, because you won this fight. But then if you lose a fight, No. I never hear from you. I feel like you get...
Because I shut myself down to everybody because I'm mad and angry. And my last fight, I didn't lose with Betch and I was salty.
I know, but I don't.
Salty.
But
they
I don't care. Yeah, but
I was extremely salty.
But I'm your friend, regardless. It doesn't matter. I mean, whether you win or you lose, I'm here for you. I'm not just gonna. Don't just pick up the phone when you win. I get it. I understand it. But you didn't let me down. Like I'm still proud of you, no matter what. I'm still a fan. I'm still a friend.
I feel like I'm getting yelled at right now.
Sorry.
Yeah, I'm getting scolded. I'm sorry.
I'm not.
You just basically told me I was a bad friend, and I'm not, and I didn't mean that.
Okay, I don't think you're a bad friend. I just feel bad that you think that you have to shut down because you don't. You know, it's like your life is short. And
No, man, it was just a lot. I think I said that before, even then with the canceled fights and stuff like that. Like, I just, you know, that's what this world does, and I had to adjust to that. You know, I had to learn how to lose and not let media make me feel like a loser, you know what I mean? Like, in that way, and that was something I had to learn to balance, and I did.
I know, but I'm not media though. I'm like, we went on a boat together and played football.
No, I mean we're friends. You're still you.
I think you had a crush on me at one point. I honestly think that
I don't know about that, but I can let you can tell people that. That's okay. Go ahead.
Oh, thank you very much. Appreciate that. So how are you? So what's going on? How's life going?
I'm good. I just left wrestling practice. I've been doing some wrestling with a local college around here, and it's really helping. And just left today, and that's it for training. I'm easing back into it. I didn't have any injuries or anything in the last fight, so I just... I mean, there's been a whirlwind. I went from my win, you know, and leaving right to Stipe's, and then his week, and we're all kind of shutting down together for a week or so, and then getting back on it.
By the way, your wrestling looked so good in your last fight. I'd never seen your wrestling look this good. It was almost like you were a wrestler. It was awesome to see.
It was neat. I think that's something that, you know, I wanted to show in this fight, is that I think that what the UFC wanted to see from me also, and fans did, is that I could show more diversity in myself and in my fight style. And I did. And I knew Kalindra was a great striker, and I knew that she was very durable. And that we could be 50-50 with the striking, but with wrestling, I knew I had it 100% just by what I'd been preparing for, what I had seen of, you know, some of her weaknesses. So we implicated a game plan at my weight class that I'm so happy to be at. I looked diesel, didn't I?
You look great. You look ripped as shit. I was like, whoa, you look shredded. It was good.
Right?
Definitely.
I'm 31, and that's the best shape I've ever been in. So I guess it is true. You know, fine. You get, was it you? You age like fine wine. So
yes.
I feel like I'm aging. I'm aging properly and maturing properly.
Now, I've been following you on social media, obviously on Facebook and stuff. And the good thing about your Facebook is that no matter what kind of day that you're having, people will know based on your Facebook posts. Either.
You know, I'm done posing on Facebook because you're not the only person that knows me. And only because you know me, you know that. Yeah. That's the difference. The other people just be like, whatever. But
either you're like, fuck the world, I hate everybody, or you're like, life is beautiful, you know, love
so
one
that's
another.
That's when I'm having a good day, and then that's when I'm having a bad day.
Right.
Compared to dating a guy that pissed me off more than I've ever been as pissed off in my life.
Now, at one point, I thought maybe you were dating a girl.
No, my God, no. Why? Everybody, like, what makes people think that? Like, just because I'm very strict about what I do and don't date.
Well, there was like a picture of you going down on a girl or something, or maybe that I just made that up. But it did seem like there was something with, like, I'm done with women or something. It was something cryptic. So the rumors are you're not dating a chick. That, because it does seem like,
no.
Okay. All right. Okay. Okay. So I could.
I don't know if this is bleepable. But I say strictly dickly.
No, it's not believable. Honestly, I know that you love dick. Everyone knows that.
See, that's how these things. Now, if you put out a headline and that's all it says is like Jessica and dick, I'm gonna be so mad. I'm doing this again because people are like, oh my God, she likes it. Here's obsessive amounts of pictures.
Jessica I loves dick. That's gonna be the headline. I love dick, Jessica I. So
because I'm actually joking with you, and then people are like, oh man, take it seriously, because you are. You are who you are. You're MMA roasted. And they're like, oh, I've just sent her tons of pictures. It must be real.
Okay, so now are you dating anyone? It seems like you...
No.
Okay, because it does seem like you're a hot girl, but you're also a girlfriend type of girl. You're not the kind of girl that's going to bang on the first night. You know, it's going to take at least 3 or 4 dates, right?
Right. Social media screwed that all up. See, that's what's happened.
Yes.
You know, like they've screwed all that up for other girls, and then I'm still so old-fashioned.
Yeah. Yeah, 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 yeah. So when was the last time you went on a date? Are you on Bumble, Tinder, or anything?
No. However, no, I'm not. I feel like if I did, like, then I'm going to get groupie guys. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I actually got to experience groupies for the first time in my life at Stipe's, the weekend of Stipe's fight, because MGK was there and he was hanging out with us. But, like, I seen a real groupie chick, and it was crazy because I've seen groupie guys in MMA and can understand that, right? Like, they're like, oh, this girl's so tough, blah, blah, blah. But a chick, like, it was a little intense. My life's kind of been spun, and I'm a little shell-shocked by it, so I don't even know if I want to date anybody right now.
Because of a groupie chick? Come on, that's going to set you off?
Yeah, because they're all crazy. Like, that's what men think that women are nowadays.
No, they don't.
And then because now I'm a tough chick, like, they think I'm, like, overly obsessive and I, like, beat my boyfriends. And that's, like, the exact opposite of what I am. However, I don't want to feel like there's anybody else eating from the same cake I am either.
Right,
so,
yeah.
You know, I'm...
Right, you want
slightly what you would call territorial. If I don't know some shit,
I could see that. I could totally see that. Well, yeah, that's good.
I mean, wouldn't you though? I mean, look at me. I mean, you know, I mean, wee pics I did a week, like.
Yeah, dick pic. Now, what do you now? When someone sends you a dick pic, do you write them back, "Thank you, but I don't want to see your dick"?
No, I usually end up blocking them, and if they do like something very creative, I usually screenshot it and send it to one of my guy friends to screw their day up.
How many dick pics has Stipe got from you?
I mean, I don't know that, but sending him, no, I don't send it to Stipe. I send it to like my other friend.
Oh, got it.
Which is my other group. I mean, I guess I give Stipe the benefit of the doubt that he probably deals with all of his own weirdness, and his wife would literally probably like to rip most of those girls' heads off.
Right. Right. I loved your speech, by the way. Your speech was epic. I was like, fucking wrestling, blah, blah, blah. They want to see takedowns, motherfucker. Fuck you, cocksucker.
Well, yeah, our boss always gets the curse. And I was like, you're going to put me on Fight Pass, then I'm at least going to make Fight Pass fun.
You definitely made Fight Pass fun. That's
right? I mean, if that's what you're going to do, like, you at least want some, you know, like, to make it seem like it's pay-per-view, you know, like, well, here's some F-bombs and some wrestling.
How hard was the weight cut for you?
It was great. I only cut 4 pounds. I died all the way down to the last 4 pounds we did on Friday night at this local gym out there that really hooked us up. That was awesome. They did great. It was Brian Gidran Jiu-Jitsu. And they literally gave us, they closed down on Friday night. The guy gave us basically his security code. We got to go and use their sauna, use their whole entire gym, and they weren't even there.
Wow.
And cut weight.
Wow.
4 pounds off, and then ate and drank a very, very tiny amount, and then gutted it out till the morning, weighed in at 126.
So where are you now? Like, in the 125-pound picture, I got to think you're in the top five.
Yeah, I think, well, top... So they're going to make all those Ultimate Fighter chicks look super, you know, big names, you know, like, because they went to the house and they're technically the foundations of this division. But then you got, you know, people like me, Gahoudagan, you know, Valentino, who were up a weight class until this happened. So as soon as we get our fights, like, I have mine, like, Gahoudagan has hers this weekend, and Shevchenko's got hers, you know, coming up. Once I feel like that happens, a little bit more steadily is going to happen into this division.
Are you calling anyone out?
I'm top. I want the best route to get there. So whoever I have to fight, I'm willing to fight to do that.
Who are you thinking about?
I'm going to be the UFC champ. I'm going to be the UFC 125 champ. It's going to happen. I feel very empowered by the fact that I have my weight class.
Yeah, I honestly, I think your striking is exceptional. You're even the girls you lost to, the Juliana Pena and Misha Tate, were very, very, very competitive fights. You can almost say you won some of those fights. And your wrestling is now good, and your jiu-jitsu is good. So I think you're going to be a big problem for a lot of people. A lot of people,
yeah,
actually.
I mean, I was off for 17 months. You know, I don't think people understand that. And I was off for 17 months. I was getting all that extra weight that I put on that I thought would help me at 35 that changed my mechanics. Like, I'm walking around 10, 11 pounds lighter than I did for 3-4 years when I was fighting at 35. And now I found, like, a different fighter. I found a much more explosive fighter, and I found someone who's really good at wrestling now. And it's been fun. Like, training is finally fun again, and I want to use that momentum. I asked Mick and Shelby when I saw them last week, like, hey, I'm ready to get back to work. And I even made a post today, like, my coach always says this, and it's something every fighter should think about, is never let the celebration outweigh the victory. And, you know, obviously you want to be excited and celebrate, but you don't stop working and learning. If you use momentum, you can be really good.
Now, for that 17 months, how are you making money the 17 months you were gone?
It was terrible. It was terrible. I don't want to talk about it. It was terrible.
Whoa. Now
I
have some.
I saved my money. I live in a very affordable house in Parma. I don't live in an overly rich area. I made some money off of my other fights that I had. My family, I got a small family inheritance that I used. And, you know, whatever it is, God, whoever you want to say to, you know, whoever you are, like, I believe somebody looked out for me and kept me afloat till I could get back on my feet. And
so
here
we
are, back on our feet,
okay,
at 125.
When you say terrible, 20. I was thinking you were stripping or stuff like, or hand jobs in the back of parking lots.
See, now that would make all you guys happy. Whoever liked to look at me. But unfortunately, I would feel terrible about myself.
Why do you feel... Okay, first of all, that's good that I like that. If I have a daughter, I would want her to feel terrible about herself if she was doing that. But second of all, what do you mean guys like to look... You know you're an attractive girl. You look in the mirror, you don't see an attractive girl?
Do I think I'm an attractive girl?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I like me. I think I'm cute. I think I'm pretty. I got nice dark eyes and good eyebrows.
So, like, what, 1 to 10?
You think, I mean, you think, firecracker, too. Yeah,
you think you're a 10, right? You think you're a 10?
Absolutely, I think I am.
All right, thank you. Good.
If I had a set of boobs, I would be even better, but, I mean, that's not going to happen for a while.
Oh, but you are going to get a boob job?
I never will, but it's, like, one of those, like, things that you'd love to actually, do, but I would never do it.
Well, yeah, you don't need
a boob
job.
But if I did, I'd be really smoking. I'd be, like, 10 plus.
No, you wouldn't. First of all, I think it's good that you have natural boobs, because you're, like, a sporty girl. You don't need to have big, fake titties. I mean,
that's what I'm saying. Like, it would never look... I mean, it's sweet to, you know, wish, you know.
No, I think you're fine.
My boobs have never met each other, so... They've never touched.
All right, that's gonna be the headline. My boobs have never met each other. Can I use that as the headline, please? Can I use that as the headline?
Sure. You can use that for one of your jokes.
Oh, good.
You know, sure.
I like that. And a lot of times it's also the nipple that's important. It's not just the boob. It's if a girl has weird.
I mean, I'm learning something now. Thank you. I'm gonna have to remember that.
Yeah, if a girl has weird,
a little subconscious.
If a girl has weird nipples, it could be a bad thing. And then it's the vagina, but really it's the personality and who the person is and the character. By the way, I got married. I don't know if you know that. I got married.
I did, of course. I said, I follow you. I follow in your stuff. Yeah. I've seen it. She's beautiful.
Yeah, she's a sweetheart.
And you're lucky. Don't fuck it up.
I know. I tell myself that. I know. It's hard. It's hard not to. I mean, not hard not to cheat. It's hard to be away from her.
It's not hard. You just don't do it. It's like,
no, just being away.
It's like saying, oh, coach, like, I don't know how to wrap my arm around their leg. You just do it. You just do it.
No, I'm just being away is what I'm saying. It's hard. Not like not cheating or being faithful. I mean, just being away. So, good. All right. So who do you, now, is there anyone that you want to call out?
No, you know, that's what the difference in, you know, see how it plays out. I mean, obviously I can't call Paige out, you know, from all the bullshit that happened from before because she didn't win. You know, I could say the same thing she said about me, you know, she's just coming off of a loss. Well, now she's coming off of a loss too.
Yeah. Right. I did think you would kill Paige. It wouldn't even be competitive. And
I mean, you know, before that, everybody thought I was some kind of like pansy. You know what I mean? That's why they were like, all right, that's fine. We're not gonna fight her. Like I'm not good. You know, that's not the fault. Everybody's gonna see. They're gonna see. I feel like I'm a little secret weapon. They're like, they don't know what to expect from me. They just know I'm super tough, and now they know I can grapple. So now I've got their heads all screwed up.
How
like, wait a minute, we thought she couldn't grapple, we thought she sucked. I'm like, oh my god, there was that double, there was an inside trip.
How hurt were you in that first round, by the way, with that head kick?
That didn't even hurt me. I didn't have a mark. I'm like, I'm a trained athlete. I'm trained to get hit, you know what I mean? In very excessive ways. I think that people forget that. Like, you when, like, it didn't hurt, honestly. I don't even know what to say. We got in a little scramble right there, and I lost my footing more than anything because I was going to drop to a takedown, and she pushed directly into me at the right time, and I transitioned right to the ankle lock because I've worked that. I've worked if someone overpowers you for a takedown and those things. But
right.
I mean, that kick didn't rock me. I've honest to God, other things have rocked me before. That did not. That didn't scramble me. I feel like, if anything, I got smart, and I was like, you know what? She's powerful. Why? Why stand and bang with somebody? Let's take this. Let's show them how good my grappling is.
So the fights this weekend, Derek Brunson, Jacare, who do you have?
You know, I don't really follow him as much, but Jacare, I mean, it's, you know, he's been in the sport for a minute.
Yeah, I know. I think Brunson's on the way up, though. It seems that Jacare's on the way down. I hope.
Yeah, he's a big guy. You know, it depends on who comes to fight.
Andre Fili versus Bermudez.
Oh shit! Dennis Nunes. Those two are fighting. Dennis Nunes, Andre Fili.
Yeah, Saturday.
I didn't know that. I've been so focused on everything with me, but dang, that's an interesting fight for the two of those guys. I think that man, I don't know. I don't have a pick on that. It's gonna be an interesting fight. We have to watch that.
I hope Fili wins. I like Fili a lot. I don't know Bermudez, but Bermudez.
I like him. Bermudez's chin's a little iffy sometimes, but yeah. You know, I think that's the only thing you worry about. But really, I don't know that he'll be as strong, because Dennis seems super strong to me.
Is that the kind of guy that you go for, Fili? All the tattoos and the craziness and the...
I don't know. They're both. I like both those guys. Like, I don't. It's my problem. I don't have a type. Like, I would date the straight edge Italian, or I date the tattoo guy that has five face tattoos. You know, like.
Now, I was very embarrassed. When me and you went on that boat together with your friend, and I took off my shirt, you took off your shirt. You were all ripped. You had a six pack. You looked great. I felt like I was like the fat kid in gym class. Were you looking at
Why
me like?
Why would you do that to yourself?
Were you judging me?
You don't have
me?
To feel like that. No one else made you feel that way. You felt that way on your own.
But I figured you were around all these athletes with these muscles, and I didn't feel very confident. I think I was wearing floaties.
No, you're the one who does that.
All right.
Listen, anybody can get anybody. It just depends on, you know, how you treat them.
So you weren't thinking, oh, like you didn't. Like, I know you were in like a lake, but you didn't dry up at that point and been like, ugh.
All right, so this is where I can't answer things like that, because then that's when your crazy little schmogies that follow you are going to start twisting it up, and I can't joke. So
you can joke.
I can't even. I'm not even touching that.
You didn't touch it at all. Actually, all right. So Gregor Gillespie versus Jordan Rinaldi. Gillespie's 10-0. You know anything about him?
No, I'm not good with this. Can we not do this? Can we not?
All right, this one. Just
I'm not good with the picking thing. I'm just, you know, I'm a terrible picker in that way. Like,
Random Marcos?
If you pick the other person, you're probably going to beat me.
Random Marcos versus Juliana Lima?
Randa.
Okay, so Randa's going to win.
100% Randa.
And then Caitlin Chukagin against Mara Romero Barella?
Well, I mean, that's an interesting fight. We'll see what happens with that because Morella just beat Mike, the girl I just won against. Kalinda submitted her, so that will be an interesting fight to pay attention to. Two different styles.
And then Justin Kish, the girl that shit in the octagon, that changed the rule now that if you guys throw up or shit yourself, you lose, is fighting Ji Young Kim. Fire Fist. Sounds like a I don't know.
I'm really confused what you just said, but we'll go with Justine just because she pooped herself and she deserves it.
No, she pooped in the octagon against Feliz.
I know. That's why I said she pooped herself. I know. She got a lot of money for those poopy pants, too.
I know. People are
She made just as much money as she would have to win the fight that she did to lose it and shut herself.
I was supposed to go on this trip with her, and my wife was like, make sure you put padding on the seats. I'm like, okay, very funny. But I like Justine. She's a sweetheart. I give her a lot of credit. She's like, she wrote Shit Happens afterwards, and I'm like, this is a cool chick. This is my kind of girl. Hello?
Did I lose you?
Yeah. Some reason we lost you. So, all right. So, what do we have coming up?
Fight-wise or just life-wise?
Life-wise.
Yeah, we're waiting on... We thought that was the last fight of my contract, and we thought we had to renegotiate. We actually have one more in this contract that we have that is, you know, it's a nice contract still, but it's still the last one, and we're going to go win this and... You know, see what's next with the UFC. Hopefully it's by May. Hopefully whoever I fight, it'll be around May.
All right. I like it. Any plans to come out to L.A. at all?
No, not right now. I haven't had any. Again, we were just trying to get back to the fight. It's like, I feel like we left for my fight week, the Stipe's fight week. Like, I feel like I'm just now getting home to get settled.
And how's your camp? Now, who do you train with as far as, like, professional fighters?
There was Taiwan Claxton, actually. He's a Bellator guy. He's the one that hit that flying knee in like 15 seconds.
Oh, yeah, that was insane.
He helped me out.
Nice.
He's a 45er, but he was actually a lefty, so I worked with him. And my one 225er, they're 125-pound fighters. One, they're both amateurs, but the one kid, Brandon Burr, I mean, he's a killer. I haven't seen a killer like him at 125 as an amateur. That is as devastating as he is. I mean, he's finished everything first round. And
wow.
At first, they brought him in because he's a great wrestler, needed striking, and now his striking's better than mine, and his wrestling's there. So now it's like I'm legitimately fighting a 125-pound person every time we spar. So I've got good sparring now. We've recruited some people, and I think that's, again, why we saw the performance you did with me.
It looked great. I loved it. Cool. Well, listen, thank you. Thanks for being my friend. Thanks for doing the podcast. Always love talking to you. I think you're a true inspiration, a cool chick, a nice person. If I have a daughter, I want her to be just like you. And thank you. Thank you for everything, Jessica.
You're the best, dude. And I'll answer the phone when you text again next time. So,
Please do.
Of all times.
Please do. Thanks, okay. Jessica. I'll talk to you soon.
All right, bye.
Bye. All right. That was the great Jessica I. Listen, people, hope you guys enjoyed the podcast. I will be in Calgary tonight through Sunday at the Comedy Cave, which is now downtown. Sunday, if you're not watching the Super Bowl, I will be at the Laugh Factory in Long Beach. And then I'll be in Placentia, California, Wednesday, February 7th at the Clubhouse. And then I'm at the Joke Joint in Houston, Wednesday, February 14th. To Friday, February 16th, the Joke Joint in Houston. And then in Laguna Beach, on my OC people, at the Skyloft, Tuesday, February 27th, at the Skyloft. I want to thank you guys for listening to the podcast. Hope you guys are doing well. Thank you, Phil Baroni. Thank you, Jessica I. Take care, people. Bye-bye. Түүний сонс тө хөгжим дөр булаан. Та дэс дуутан дөр булаа бууруулаа.